Welcome to another podcast by Air Insight.
This is Addison Schoenland, and today is November the 8th, 2018. My guest today is Bernie Baldwin, who is a longtime regional airline follower and journalist. Bernie, just so the listeners can get a handle on you and your background in the industry, can you give us a quick summary of how long you've been tracking the regional airline business?
I'd say that it's been going on a good 25 years. I was working at the Royal Aeronautical Society on their publications when I actually had attended a lecture by Eric McConachy, who's known as the father of the CRJ, of course. And that kind of stirred my interest in regional aviation, although I was covering a whole range at the time. So when I left there, I went to Airlines International, the IATA publication. I was editor there for a couple of years, from 98 to 2000. Again, I got more involved in covering regional airlines. And then finally, in 2000, I moved to Regional Airline World, published by the Shepherd Press at the time. That changed ownership in 2010. It already changed its name from Regional Airline World to Low Fare and Regional Airlines. People now know it as LARA. I was editor there for 16 and a half years, and I left and went freelance in February 2017. So that's a very quick précis of my time covering regional aviation.
Well, I think that not only me, I didn't know about some of that stuff, but anyone listening to this will say, okay, this guy knows about this industry. So the reason we are having this call today is today Bombardier announced that they're doing their third quarter financials and reporting. And of course, today they announced they were selling the Q400 program to Viking, which leaves them with one commercial program, the CRJ, which is a regional jet. What is your first take on this news?
I've got to admit, I was surprised because Bombardier, once the C-Series program had been taken over by Airbus, I thought really they were going to try and push both the turboprop and the jet to get the CRJ together as a combined effort, in a sense, to show that you could go to Bombardier for either or, you know, this positioning as being a one-stop shop for a good regional jet or a good turboprop.
And the fact so you that, saw that a synergy there.
Well, they sold it to me in the sense that that seemed to be their aim, their desire to be that sort of provider to the market. The Q400, of course, has not fared terribly well against the ATR family over the past 7 or 8 years. So the opportunity for them to recharge the battery and go back in and try and push the Q400, it was interesting. And I thought, really, they were going to follow through with it. And now I don't know which way this came along, whether it or not it was Alain Belmar and Fred Cromer who went out to the market and said, went to Viking and Viking's owner Longview and said, we are thinking of divesting, would you be interested? Or if it was David Curtis at Viking and his parent company, who saw that Bombardier were a little bit tentative about things and wondered if it would be better off under their ownership and whether he went to them. That's going to be an interesting one to find out as the news, you know, more news comes out over the time of the handover of one to the other.
Right. So Viking has now essentially taken anything that Bombardier made with a propeller and absorb that.
Absolutely. Right from their first efforts with the Twin Otter and
right
and then through the the CL415 water bomber. But going into this program, I also another thing that makes this a little bit more interesting is that ATR is the only one sitting out there with a 50-seat turboprop, brand new, if you want to buy one. Could Viking and have the right investment to at least come up with a shall we say a shrink of the Q400 and come up with something around 50 seats. The possibilities are fairly endless in a sense. There's an awful lot that could happen.
I think that we can be reasonably confident if we look at Viking and what they've done with the Twin Otter, going with the Dash 400, a slightly bigger version. They've reinvigorated that program, and they're doing well with it. They're doing a lot of conversions of old Beavers into Turbo Beavers, done very well with that.
Mm-hmm.
The CL415 is getting a refresh, which was, I mean, it's the only, other than the Russian airplane, the Beriev, it's the only real water bomber out there, and it's a remarkable airplane. So I think you're right in terms of, let's say, a Q300, and the encouragement for them to do that would be that Embraer has been mumbling about going back into turboprop business themselves. And if they lose the E2 program, if they lose the E2 program essentially to Boeing, I would imagine that there may be some interest in Brazil to maybe go back into the turboprop space. So I think that revitalizes the Q quite considerably, and I think the Q program was quite an expensive airplane for Bombardier to build. It's a very hot performer. You know, I don't know if you know this, but there was talk about Bombardier looking at the Pratt & Whitney Canada engine that is being put on the Chinese the 700,
MA-700. The Avic MA-700. Sorry.
So we
discussed this at the ERA convent and General Assembly last month, and that it would be a re-engineering where you wouldn't be able to retrofit because it's a different what will fit within the same nacelle is a different set of turbo machinery, so.
Right.
The PW150C for the MA-700 has different turbo machinery, but it does fit the same sort of real estate. So yes, that was discussed there as a possibility. Bombardier didn't say whether they would go for it or not. Colin Bowl was the representative there alongside Ryan DeBrusque, and basically. We asked about the questions about that because it could give 2, 3, 4, maybe 5% better performance than the PW150A that the Q400 currently has.
So,
I don't know
that
if
margin
would be interesting.
Right, so I don't think that margin was enough for Bombardier, but it's the kind of thing that would probably play a lot better with Viking. Anyway,
I'm sure also that Pratt & Whitney Canada would be interested in pushing that as well, because let's face it, if they can move from the PW150A to the PW150C as this takes over on more aeroplanes, that could make it cheaper in terms of selling that engine both to the Chinese and to Viking. You don't have two sets of turbo machinery, and you improve Pratt & Whitney Canada's own standing in the market by their engines being more efficient, more efficient engines there.
But let's come back. Let's come back to Bombardier and their CRJ. I think a lot of people think about the CRJ as monolithic, not knowing or thinking about the fact that there's the 700, the 900, and the 1000. So really, it is a family. That they offer to the market. And a key driver here is that 72% of all the regional jets in the world operate in the United States and their scope clause, and that is an ironclad hand over the market. You cannot make it work in this industry if you don't make your airplane scope compliant. US.
That's scope. It's interesting that in the press release that Bombardier put out, they did use the phrase scope compliant aircraft about the CRJ. That was an interesting thing I've picked up. I did pick up on that. And of course, that is the case. But of course, you're talking about putting the aircraft into the US. The CRJ 1000, of course, is not scope compliant. The 900 has been the big seller that's been going in over the past few years. In actual fact, the 700, I think they've only had a handful of orders for the 700 worldwide since the end of 2012. They've had about 15 to 20 orders tops in that time, and I don't think any of them have come from new customers. I think they were repeat orders. So at the moment, there's one 700 still to be delivered. I've been trying to look up to see which customer it's going to. It'll be out there. It'll be on the thing somewhere. I do have it in front of me if I find it, but I'm not finding it at the moment. So there's one 700 still to be delivered. But the whole CRJ family, in terms of orders out there, is only by the end of September this year. They had a backlog of 56 aircraft as of 30th of September, and 50 of those were the CRJ 900, 5 CRJ 1000s, and the 1700. So, but it has to be said, 19 for Delta, 15 still to go to American Airlines. So there is the possibility there. That's 34 out of the 50 CRJ 900s going into North America. But even there, in North America, under the scope clauses, they have been taking a fair old beating from the current Embraer 175 that itself was slightly upgraded about 5 years ago with the change of wing devices and one or two other things, sometimes known as the E175 Plus. And they've been taking a fair old beating there. Embraer's claiming 80% of sales in that market for that E175 model. So Bombardier is still on it's still a tough call to sell them into the US, even though it is scope compliant. They do have one or two things happening elsewhere. It's been doing the CRJ 900s out there doing quite well in Europe, particularly in the ACMI business with people like CityJet and to a certain extent Air Nostrum.
And also, Nostrum likes the 1000, and of course, the Chinese are now getting into the 900 quite a bit. They have a very good customer base, growing customer base in China for the 900. An idea that occurs to me, if you wanted to look at this and say, how is this positive? Well, firstly, the focus at Bombardier will now be in commercial on one program. They will not be resource constrained like they have been with C Series, just sucked up every kind of resource that it could. So that's a problem that's solved itself in many ways. The queue was in some ways marginal, although particularly picking up business in Africa in the last couple of years. So
look at
very
Ethiopian
special
and
airplane.
And
right, jumbo jet. So it's a very special airplane, the queue, very fast. A really amazing network performer for a turboprop because it had the speed to make up all kinds of things. It has a huge range. Also, they sold some in Angola. So I think Viking's onto something good there because they got it at a bargain. But if you look at the good news look at the Bombardier news and say, how could this be good news? You would say, well, they're not going to be resource constrained. They're going to be much more intensely focused. And if they decide to stay in the regional business, which I think they need to clarify, they might now have the wherewithal to look at it something like, How do you refresh the CRJ? How do you replace the CRJ if they, in fact, want to stay in the commercial business? And I would imagine the airlines want to keep Bombardier in the commercial business because you want to have at least two vendors, because then they fight with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was going, if there is, there, like you say, there is that sort of optimistic view, but the other thing, if you're taking a slightly more pessimistic view with the CRJ, yes, they can get into North America, and they've just launched this new cabin, and Delta's going to be the launch customer for that, as we know, the atmosphere cabin. But if there is the possibility for Embraer to keep on with the ordinary 175 after, even after the E175E2 is rolled out, I'm sure they would do to keep market share in North America. I don't think that they'd get rid of it so easily. And then, of course, the MRJ70. Obviously, that program is, we don't know quite how well it's going to come out. It's just but they're still pushing ahead, and the MRJ70 will be scope compliant, and it will be an order of magnitude better in cash operating operating costs if it meets all the spec. So there is competition there. So I'm thinking, you know, if you were looking at a downside, you'd say that Bombardier is going to throw everything into the CRJ and sweat the asset completely before bringing it to an end. I mean, every time they've been asked about, you know, would you re-engine the CRJ, they've said no. And until that stance changes, you have to think, well, are they going to just go down the case of sell as many as possible and then hand over the market to the Embraers and the MRJs?
Well, Bernie, an interesting item that I think not many people are aware of. GE continues to believe that the NG-34 engine, which powers the E-175 and the CRJ, will stay in production. Their view is scope clause won't change before 2025. That allows the roof on airplanes that like the E-2-175 and the MRJ-90 to be outside of scope.
Absolutely.
Embraer is going to move the E-2 version of the 175 further to the right, unless, of course, they can get someone in Europe or somewhere else to buy it, in which case they'll go for it. So I think that it gives Bombardier some space not to be rah-rah Bombardier here, because they have a program that is mature, to be kind, and GE doesn't believe that the E-175 as we know today, or the CRJ as we know today, will stop being built, because they don't see scope easing, and they continue to see that they will power those programs. So it's interesting. I think we have, and we've already been going for 21 minutes here, I think we have a situation, and I'm going to try and summarize this, and I'd like your view on this, but it seems that we are at a very interesting watershed moment here for Bombardier, particularly, and the regional airline vendor business as a whole.
Mm, absolutely. It's a really, really interesting move today. I think that you know, we've looked at the positive and the negative options of where the CRJ might go, the two channels and things. I think for the near future, I think you're right about scope clauses not shifting in the US until well into the middle of the next decade. They've given the pilot unions have given no indication whatsoever that around the 2021 time that they were going to shift, and that, like you say, that rules out MRJ90 and E175E2. So yeah, they can fight back against the current E175, and I see no reason for Embraer to worry about keeping that running. Can I just make a little comment? You mentioned about the Q400 program and having the Africa situation. Of course, Viking and has already been placing Twin Otters in Africa because it's been the right sort of aircraft for a lot of the operations there. And therefore, they have gained themselves quite a presence on that continent. So the fact that you've got people like Ethiopian, Jambo Jet, Libyan, Arik Air in, over in the West, and you mentioned Angola. So the fact that you've got all those country airlines in all those countries using the Q400 and South Africa as well, and Viking has this support presence to a certain extent on which it can build, I think that might be a very good market for the Q400. I think Viking are just nicely placed to capitalize on that.
Great point. Bernie, thank you so much for the call.
You're most welcome. I look forward to chatting again again on the same topic, maybe about 6 months down the line. Who knows?
This recording is copyrighted by Air Insight.